I'm just leading up to the discussion for next month, and it's something that I want you to think about, and guess what, you have a whole month to think about it. So one thing that I would like you to think about is this. One of the arguments for the existence of God is a very simple argument. It's a syllogism that goes this way. It says that, look, the universe is a design structure. All right. All design structures what do they need what? Not a designer, but need a conscience or a sentient designer. Even an atheist believes that the universe has a designer, he just calls it Mother Nature. But we want to believe that you know, designer is a sentient designer. Meaning it's something that has a will of its own, a knowledge, a conscious of its own. It makes decision on its own. It's not just like a mechanism that's in place. And therefore the conclusion is, that the universe has a sentient designer. Okay. For this argument to be valid, what has to be valid? Just run me through it. It's obvious. The minor premise has to be valid. So I have to demonstrate it. I can't just come and prove this, or just can't come and claim this. And especially what I have to do is I have to define what a design structure is. I have to demonstrate that there are design structures in the universe. Secondly, I have to prove the major premise as well, that all design structures need a sentient designer. I can't just come and claim that. And then the form of the argument. So I have repeated the B over here. If A is B and B needs C, therefore A needs C. Okay, the form of the argument is correct, and I accept that any argument of this form has a truth value to it, therefore my conclusion has a truth value to it. So all I need to do is actually prove the minor premise and the major premise. Then whether you like the conclusion or you don't like the conclusion, you have to accept the conclusion. Now, when it comes to this major premise, that's where Hume came and attack this particular argument. It's very important. I know many of us know Burhan and Nazm, but do you know Burhan and Nazm in this particular manner? It's important. Sometimes somebody comes and criticizes the Burhan, you don't know where does he have the problem. Is it in the minor premise? Can he not see the design? Is it in the major premise? Can he not see this universal principle? Or is it in the form of the argument? If you understand where the problem is, you can treat it right where he is. Well, Hume, in all that work that you read, you probably would not be able to tell, but Hume had a problem with the major premise. And the major premise was that all design structures need a sentient designer. Now, most of us, we accept this argument. In fact, the narration that I read for you from Imam al-Sadiq, the Imam says to Hisham, "Oh Hisham, don't you see that when you look at a structure, right, even after the person who has built it has gone away, and he's not there, and you can't see that person, but when you look at the structure, don't you realize that somebody had built this structure once upon a time? That there was a person who came and fashioned and designed this structure?" And Hisham says, "Yes, I accept that," right? We all accept. The best example given for this is the watchmaker example, right? Whenever you look at a watch, you realize that there was a watchmaker to it, okay? Something which is obvious to you. Hume says there's a problem with that argument. The problem is that this argument is based on experimental or empirical data. You looked at all the things which were visible to you, like an iPhone and an iPad and a watch and, you know, the light bulbs and all other design structures which human being made, and you realized each and every time that anytime something was made, there had to be a designer to it. So you also made that jump and you assumed that, you know what, if there is a nature and there is a world, then there has to be a designer to it. But your data or your subset is not sufficient for you to make this conclusion. So let's read through it. if you can just bear with me. So this preamble for next session comes from Wikipedia. All right. Hume gave the classic criticism of the design argument in his book, whatever the book is called. He argued that for the design argument to be feasible, it must be true that order and purpose are observed only when they result from design. But order is observed regularly, resulting from presumably mindless processes like snowflake or crystal generation. Design, now here's where I really want your attention, accounts for only a tiny part of our experience with order and purpose. Furthermore, the design argument is based on an incomplete analogy. Because of our experience with objects, we can recognize human designed ones, comparing, for example, a pile of stones and a brick wall. But to point to a designed universe, we would need to have an experience of a range of different universes. As we only experience one, the analogy cannot be applied. The analogy is insufficient. Your major premise is deeply flawed, and therefore your conclusion is not valid. Do you understand what his argument is? He's saying you don't have enough, a big enough range of data to be able to draw this conclusion. Yes, you can draw this conclusion for human-made objects, but you cannot draw this conclusion for natural objects or the natural world. To be able to draw this conclusion for the natural world, you have to have, let's say, 1,000 universes. In each universe, you see that design only comes into being when there is a sentient designer, and then, and only then, can you come and claim that this universe, or all design structures in this universe, need a sentient designer. That's a powerful argument against, you know, the argument by design. So how are you going to deal with it?
Okay, the answer, I guess, is how do we know that a structure is designed? So we compare it with something in this world, and we think it's not designed. So you might say that in this world, you see some stuff that have a less, like lower amount of designness.
Yes.
And then, with comparing those, you can see that what design means.
Right.
So in that sense, yeah, like you can see that what a human has made.
Yes.
What's the difference of that with something that a human hasn't touched upon?
Right. Right.
So based on that, you can have a idea of design. Now, when you see that some of the things that are, for example, human itself or
yes,
the creatures have that notion of sort of order and thing in them that
yes,
is compared to other stuff in
yes,
this world
yes,
has a more complexity.
Yes.
So then you can have this idea
yeah,
that something is designed.
Yeah, but I guess what he's trying to say is that, you know, the things that we human beings make, it is not natural for example, a piece of silicon to become an IC. All right, it's not natural for it to become like that. But when you look at the universe, the things like a tree, it is natural, for example, for a seed to become a tree. Or it is natural, for example, for, you know, a process of evolution to come into place. All right, only if you look at other natural, you know, processes and other natural phenomena, and in all of those you can demonstrate that they could not have come into being unless there was a sentient designer, then only I will accept that this universe has a sentient designer.
Like in the thermodynamics, we say in the second law,
yes,
that things go towards
chaos.
Maximum, yeah, chaos.
Right.
So now in that sense, if you see that some of the things hasn't gone into chaos,
right,
so that might be... If I wanted to,
I don't know. Maybe there were a million universes. All of them went into chaos, and this one worked out.
Yeah, the thing is, I think one criticism can be made about this.
Yes.
That this is based on stepa, or
okay.
So the premises are based on that.
Yes.
And yes, and upon, like based on that, you cannot make a claim of all things.
Okay.
But it comes down to, like, what's, I mean, in this, in our human, yeah, most of the things probably.
Okay.
And I don't think that this is the strongest proof of God.
Okay.
But I think that leads you to some sort of idea that there is a very good chance that there might be a designer. So in that sense, it's defensive, but with all, yeah.
Yeah, so the universe probably has a sentient designer. You know, there's a 90% chance or 95% chance as a sentient designer. And I'm a gambling person, now I'll gamble on the 95%. But I can't say with certainty, based on this argument, and you're right, based on this argument,